Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Detroit Sound Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, and Matt.
We are live, episode 67 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. We managed to get here and on time. We were stuck outside in the cold. Man.
It was a full-blown sprint to get this show started.
But we did it. It was a team effort. Team effort.
Indeed.
Let's start off with Nick. What's going on?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Oh, you must be in a good mood. You're not drinking
I'm not drinking Ice House this week.
Yeah.
What are you drinking over there?
Started something a little mainstream. Got this Guinness and Twerpen Stout.
It's a great city.
It's a lot of words.
Yeah, I know.
What's it taste like?
Like a stout.
Thank you.
I don't know.
Great description.
I don't know. Right. I just took a sip because I haven't had anything to drink since dinner.
It's stouty.
You haven't had anything to drink since dinner?
That wasn't very long ago.
I was going to say, yeah, that's not like usually it's, when people
it's definitely,
say.
It's definitely a different take on their... They're normal Guinness.
When people say I usually haven't had a drink since, it's more than 2 hours.
Well, actually, it was like an hour.
I know. Yeah. I know. I was just, you know.
I know.
Rob, what's going on?
I don't know. Just, you know, trying to make it through today.
Trying to make it to Sunday night for your Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, Sunday night now. Sunday night. Yeah. I'm actually kind of excited about it actually moving. So now it's just good to have a nice little primetime night game against the Chiefs. We'll see what happens.
I hate to tell you, the Chiefs are winning the AFC. I don't think anyone's going to stop that.
The Chiefs?
Ooh. Well, Dan, what's going on?
Damn, what's going on, buddy?
Well, hold on. Before we get to you, what are you drinking, Rob?
Decided to kind of dig into the back and grab myself a Bell Saturn.
Bell Saturn?
What?
Right.
And we're talking about me drinking old beer. How old is that, Rob?
That's a damn good question.
2 years.
Dated April 3rd, 2015.
Almost two years,
yeah.
Damn.
Terrible.
So, Dan, what are you drinking?
Well, I just opened Frosty-ass 40 of King Cobra.
What's the born-on date for that one? Do you have one?
I don't know. Where do you find it at? Take it out of the
on top of the neck.
I know. There is a lot of surface area to print it.
I don't see it.
Uh-oh.
Who cares? I bet it's good.
Hopefully it's fresh. You know, when the hops fall off of King Cobra, it's always fresh.
It's always fresh.
Yeah, downhill from there.
The Matt Bush, what's going on?
Get that out of here. Here, Ken, take this.
Waiting that entire time just to do that. Thank you.
This is what happens when we don't get here and get prepared.
This is why we can't have...
Even worse.
This is why we can't have nice things.
That's not my detector.
Can I...
No, don't.
Ken, I think I might have frostbite, but I'll survive.
Hey. What are you drinking?
I could have swore that was a "What's Happening" start there, and you guys just went the wrong way.
I'm again cutting this PBR with a Diet Verner's per the usual.
Oh, got to keep your figure with the Diet Verner's.
Yeah, plus I just polished off my pregame before we got in here.
What was your pregame?
It was a beautiful Twisted Tea half and half.
Was it the barrel-aged Twisted Tea?
It was not. I actually gave you the barrel-aged something, didn't I?
Yeah, you gave me the Tennessee Barrel Lemonade by Mike's Harder.
The fuck?
What main company owns Mike's?
North American. Mike Anthony Brewing. It's Mike Anthony's out of
I need to know.
So they're not owned by AB or Miller or anything like that.
They're owned out by some Canadian conglomerate.
Not the. I was like,
that's not Labatt.
He was also in the movie Hackers too.
Huh? And it was also in Man on Fire.
Where are we at in this conversation?
We're talking about Mark Anthony.
He was the bad guy.
He was part of the FBI.
Spoiler alert.
I haven't watched that.
I need to know. I need to know.
See? Somebody had
the movie's
seen
only
it.
22 years old. So
is it that young?
I think it was like made in 1995.
That would be 22 Fire? Years ago, yes.
Oh, Man on Fire was like 2005.
No, we're talking Hackers.
Hackers is 96, I believe.
Okay. Uh-huh. What about Hackers 2?
Oh, never was
what?
I think there was.
That exists, and I don't know why. We do have a guest in studio.
We do.
Yep. Welcome to the studio. It's much warmer in here, yes?
It is warmer.
Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us what you do, who you work for.
Okay, my name is Pauline. I work for Shorts Brewing Company and Star Cut Ciders now. A little bit of both now.
This isn't really that good, by the way. The Tennessee Barrel.
No,
lemonade.
Get out of here. That's not good.
It's not. You don't like it?
It's actually, no, I didn't try it.
Oh.
It wasn't that bad. I finished the can yesterday.
Is it oaky? An oaky lemonade.
It tastes like lemonade with well vodka. Mm-hmm.
That's the proof of a fad jumping the ship. Is that drink?
That
you're
is
drinking right there.
It's basically regret cut with an Arnold Palmer right there.
Regret with an Arnold. I could see that.
With Arnold.
So
Palmer.
You work for Shorts and Star Cut. What do you do for them?
I'm the sales manager.
Sales manager for a specific area, the whole state?
Our whole distribution network now.
Oh, so all states.
All states now.
Not just Michigan now.
No, not just Michigan.
How many states is it now?
Okay, let me... I should know this because I talk to them every single day, but every day I got to count them. It's like keeping track of children. Let's see. Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania and six, and our cider is out in Colorado. No beer yet, but our cider's out there.
Really?
So, and Michigan. So there you go, seven.
Nice.
Well, I assumed Michigan was in the
That wasn't in my count. There you go, seven.
I didn't know Shorts got it to Michigan. I mean, it's a rare beer to find.
It's interesting that Star Cut is in Colorado, but not Shorts. Why is that?
Yeah, so we have a relationship with the distributor out there because. We go through Elite Brands in Colorado, and Elite Brands is the owner is literally the sister of Imperial Beverage, who we distribute with in Michigan.
Oh, nice.
And they wanted our beer and cider out there, and we said we're not ready to send beer out there, but have we kick it off with cider. And
okay.
So it's been relatively successful.
So the Colorado beer or craft industry has accepted Star Cut as a good cider. How's the cider distribution out there? Is there a lot of cideries out in Colorado? I don't think Colorado is known for its apples.
Trying to think about the apple trees out in the Rocky Mountains.
It's not Michigan. It's definitely not on the top of the U.S. of apple growing states. But that's actually was a big reason why we said, hey, let's give cider a try, because they knew there was a need still for more boutique ciders. And but I have to say, because like we actually just joined the Colorado, one of the cider guilds, and the Rocky Mountain Cider Association, and so they're working really hard to try to kind of grow that area of boutique ciders. So
now
still needs to grow.
Washington's out that way. Are they doing with cider like what we are? Because I mean, they're a pretty big apple state.
Washington, Colorado.
I don't know.
That's a great question. It makes sense.
I'm throwing it out there.
They should be. Us being a little newer to the cider game, obviously trying to really start understanding the industry a little better. I don't know a ton of Washington cideries, but I guarantee you there's a lot of them. I just don't think they've made them this way yet.
Is there something big that you've noticed between the transition from being a beer channel manager and now pushing ciders?
Yes, it's a very different. It's a different demographic. They're starting to merge for sure. Like obviously, beer drinkers are getting more into cider. Cider drinkers are getting more into beer. But at the same time, I think for such a long time they've been so separate. Even though there's really no reason for them to be separate, but they really have been. So it's a different educational process. And I also feel it's really weird, but I feel like when we're if I'm at an event and I'm introducing cider, people are more willing to try it than sometimes they are beer. If I'm talking to at a random bar and they always say, "Well, I don't know if I like beer," cider, people are more willing to give it a try.
Well, I think it's more because it's a little more like in regards to most people, I don't know too many people have been like, I hate apples or I hate apple cider or even apple juice as much as the disdain for beer, especially because there's so many different variations of beers. So trying a cider, it's not beer and therefore something that they'd be willing to try.
Well, yeah, especially when, you know, I talk to so many different people, craft beer drinkers, regular beer drinkers, and people who say they absolutely hate beer. I think those people who say they don't like beer, it's because now that they either have the one side of, you know, the big brands that you're thinking not a ton of flavor, and then you're going on the other side of these craft that are exploding that people often think are intimidating or like bitter and hoppy, and what does hoppy mean if I'm not a beer drinker? So like you said, cider, apples, people are like, I've had apple juice before, I'll give that a try.
Well, and I think it's the same in regards to it's not as daunting, I think, as if you go into the wine side or the mead side, whereas apple cider and, you know, your hard ciders, a lot of people know of hard ciders. There are mass produced hard ciders that people can get into the industry. Reds.
Reds is an ale.
Sorry.
It's actually an FSB, but it's brewed like an ale.
Okay. Woodchuck. Is that a Woodchuck cider, sir?
But also, what about Angry Orchard?
Some of these ciders are brewed with wine yeast even, so it's easier to transition a wine drinker, especially over to like a semi-sweet or a semi-dry cider, and then move them from the cider into the beer category. Cider's kind of become that step, and from that, it's really... You know, cider was only been around for the last like 3 to 4 years, and that's, you know, cider carved itself.
You mean as a fad or as a
segment in the beer cooler, if you will.
I gotcha. I was gonna say cider's not brand new.
Well, and you're right about the wine yeast, because like our semi-dry, which is Pulsar, that's a Pinot Noir yeast strain.
Yeah.
So when you drink it, yeah, you get a little bit of a fruitiness, but you actually get way more of this like white wine, sparkling white wine attributes. And so it is amazing when I talk to people who like wine. That's like, well, obviously that's my go-to one.
Do you get people to try your beer because of your cider, or vice versa? Because I mean, you know, as you talked about how people aren't, you know, people are like, I don't like beer, it's too hoppy, too bitter, but I'll try the cider. Do you feel people will see your brand of cider and then kind of okay, well, I like the cider, I didn't know if I was going to, so I'll try the beer?
Both situations. So I would say people who are no craft, know the brand shorts, that has gotten people to pick up a six pack of one of our ciders because they know our brand, and if they have enjoyed our brand in the past, then they're going to feel comfortable paying the money to grab that six pack. So that was one thing that actually we kind of played with at the beginning, and that was a really interesting shift for us to go into a whole new brand, you know, not say Shorts Brewing Ciders, because that was kind of our big debate at the beginning. Like, do we go a whole different brand name and then have to re-educate everyone? Or do we kind of, in a sense, go the easy route and say it's Shorts Brewing and use that background? So when I'm doing both at the one time, that helps. And then when I am, say, at a random, you know, grocery store doing a tasting and people walk by, it doesn't matter that it's Shorts. They're just really excited to try that it's cider. But I'm always having them next to each other.
And you guys aren't cheap either in your cider category. You guys are a couple dollars more on a six pack and a dollar more a pint or so, if I'm not mistaken, then your standard, like, I mean, Angry Orchard is a little bit cheaper, as well as, you know, both the pint or a six pack. So you get, just because it's Michigan and it's, you know, a micro craft, that you're getting that dollar up, or it's an easier value to bring them over?
You know, actually, our flagship ciders, which is Pulsar and Octorok, we purposely have worked really hard to get it in about the same price range as Angry Orchard. But then when you look into our rotating ciders, and those are the ciders we're bringing in a ton of different ingredients, not just apples. The one out right now is Fuzz, so it has a bunch of peaches in it. So those ingredients are bumping up the price a little bit. So, yes, on more of that boutique side, not having the volume there, and then the ingredients we're putting into it, totally a couple dollars more, which we have not found as a problem in the industry, that people seem well educated to understand why it is a couple bucks more. But we did work really hard to actually make our flagships appeal to a lot of different palates, and we've kept in the same price range as Angry Orchard.
Rock on.
So how did you get into working for Shorts/Starcut?
So it's been about 3.5 years that I've been with Shorts, and I wanted to get into the beer industry towards the end of my time in college. Go Blue, by the way. I see your t-shirt
there. I just wore it because I didn't have any other clean clothes.
He's a Chippewa.
I mean, I'm a Walmart.
Well, I'll take it. I'll take it. So I went to U of M, and but I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I was becoming fascinated with beer, craft beer, wanted to, I just had this desire to get into the industry. And Schwartz was on my radar, not only just being a bigger brand in Michigan, but my parents actually have a cottage a couple miles from the brew pub up in Bel Air. Mm-hmm. So I was there with my dad the day that Schwartz opened. I was at the time not legally able to drink, but but I get to say that as a young person, my first beer memory was my father handing me a Huma because he was a big IPA drinker and did a little home brewing when I was young in our basement and was like, this is what beer is going to be. And of course, it was terrible and disgusting and bitter. But like, I wanted to be like my dad, and I was like, I will like this. And I remember just being like, oh, yeah, it's okay. And just kind of trying it over and over again. But I always was fascinated with the atmosphere of Schwartz. I have to say, I'm very spoiled. And if I don't know, have any of you guys been up to the brew pub?
Not yet.
Oh my God, we got to get you up there.
It's the last time that the chance that I had to get up there, I was in Traverse City and there was a huge snowstorm. And I'm like, if I drive up to Bel Air, I'm stuck here for another night. So
Bel Air is literally in the middle of nowhere and kind of on the way to nothing.
Do you live up there?
I don't anymore. When I started working for Schwartz, and so yeah, I wanted to get into the industry. I applied for a sales job. I was pretty confident I wasn't going to get it because I had never been in beer and never been in sales, but I was very determined to at least try something. So I threw in my resume, ended up getting a call back, doing a couple interviews, and I did not get a sales job, but I had done marketing throughout college, and it was pretty amazing that how much we've grown because 3 years ago, we didn't really even have a developed marketing department at all. We had our HR director, who was also our COO, and is still our COO, also running our marketing department.
No.
And so he called me and said, you know, we want to bring you on the team. You're not ready to be on the sales side yet, but we would like to bring you on as marketing. So my first year at the brewery, I did work up north and helped start really growing that department. And I actually live downstate now, so moved back down here a couple years ago.
So is that bowling alley still open up there?
No, but it's reopening.
It's wow. Place is on. Ken, you'd have to go there to see it. It's pretty nice. At least it was back in the day.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been closed for a little while, but it is reopening, and there's going to be beer. And better be Schwartz beer, so we're working on it.
No, you're
going to
have Miller Lite, Coors Light, Bud Light, Labatt Blue.
Bowling beers.
You got to have MGD.
Oh, yeah, MGD, High Life.
High Life.
Bucket of High Life.
And 64 for Nick.
Oh,
goodness. Wow. Now, yeah, I know.
Now, the West Coast Michigan, you've got all those other major Michigan craft beers. How do you guys try to differentiate? What are you doing to, like, stand out and be different and really carve in? Because now that you're expanding into, you know, other markets.
So one thing that helped us, and it was obviously Joe, it's a pretty amazing story of short starting. And one thing that also, in a sense of luck, on the side of luck, not all of it was luck by any means, a lot of hard work, but the luck side was the time that Schwartz kicked off. Mm-hmm. Because you were still at that beginning of this current phase of beer in America where, you know, that craft word was really just kind of starting. And so we're really lucky because Joe, really, if you look at the Midwest, Joe was one of those first people to start making beer with what we think of as non-traditional ingredients. Mm-hmm. So that was a relatively new concept. I mean, it's so funny, like Hopstash, which is about to come out, one of our next specialties, we brewed that a long time ago, and we were putting grapefruit zest in it. People thought Joe was insane. Like, why do I want to drink grapefruit in my beer? Hello, now that's all you find is grapefruit and grapefruit juice. So Joe was one of those that pushed the boundaries and way, way before a lot of people did. That doesn't mean he was the only one, but in the Midwest area, he was definitely helping lead that charge. And so that from the beginning helped put us on the map. Now today, having way more people getting into experimentation and a ton of different styles coming out and or taking one style and finding all these different variations of it, one thing that we have definitely learned is using our story. So there is that marketing side. The amount of time and energy and money we put into our quality department is huge. Now, we're really lucky that we've grown to the point where we now have the resources to do that. But as we grow, we have really developed our lab, and we actually now have a quality team of three people, which
is... Do you need a fourth by chance?
We may be lucky. You never know.
We'll work for beer.
Wow.
You can be our taste testers. You can taste all our old beer and see
that's fine. I'll tell you
how good or bad it okay tastes.
Are you planning to be a drunk? Like a job as a drunk right now?
I'll tell them when the hops fall off, and then I'll rename the beer if it's
you can
no
be our beer scribe. You can just record all of our
I'll be like one of those old monks in one of those Trappists from the 1500s.
Oh, jeez. We'll give you verticals of like 12-year-old Huma.
There you
let
go.
Us know what it tastes like.
Don't threaten me with a good time. That should be the name of next beer.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Nah. So how big is the portfolio for Shorts?
It is, well, we have, so our normal portfolio, 5 flagships, a seasonal, which this year is actually going to be 6 beers. And cool. Then we are, which was a marketing thing on that one. We can go back to that later if you want, but 6 beers. And then beyond that, we are doing 20, I hope I'm going to be close, 26 specialties this year. And that doesn't even count any of the maybe keg-onlys that we put out and pub brews. Our portfolio, I think, is more than 450 different beers at the point.
Goodness.
Wow. So actually, that's a huge way that we have... made sure that we've carved out that niche in our area.
Now, they're not variety. All variants of the same beer, are they?
No, I'm not going to mention
that cherry
else.
Double that, crooked tree.
I wasn't going to say anything. No, that one thing. No, there have definitely been taking an idea and running with. We've done a lot of second runnings and then played around with different styles. But no, I have to say, that's pretty much individual beers.
So that's good. So you could do a tap takeover with 120-plus taps, and they'd all be different.
So not we did that.
Over hop completely take over Hopcat.
No, we did. You guys, yes, you guys know that, right? We've done 130 at Hopcat.
They could also take
Shorts
over.
Was the first one for Detroit's Hopcat. For the tap takeover that they did.
They could easily blow out all the taps at Brown Iron Brewhouse in Washington County, Michigan.
Oh, yeah, one of our sponsors.
Hey. Sponsors.
27 and a half with 64 taps, and 4 of them are their own unique brews. And I think I saw Cinnamon French Toast Porter was pouring this week.
So yes,
I
believe so.
I don't even know what that is.
That needs to be tried.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
We need to make a trip out to
understand what you're saying. I don't know who makes it, though, because...
Brown Iron.
Oh, Brown Iron makes it.
That's one of their unique specialties.
Yeah. There you go.
Let's try that.
But 27 and a half in Washington Township, go.
Is it really that far north?
It is north. I drove by it the other day.
It's not that far.
Why
people?
Were you out there?
I live at 0 miles, so that's right? 27 and a half miles north.
I was there for
north.
A family party.
I got so a 5-mile head start on him. And that, no.
I was going to say, most of us live in Oakland County or Wayne County.
We'll do a little drive time.
I don't go to Oakland, or I don't go to Macomb County, so
I'm going to make that drive.
I mean, I don't know what the mile road would be for
Bel
Air.
We'll bring you some beer now.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go over for the next Shorts tap takeover.
Out of Brown Iron.
We'll go sell it in right now.
Right.
So you guys have a huge portfolio. How do you guys decide what goes into market, what's keg only? You know, how does that, because just you have so many beers, like what makes the cut?
Yeah, so there's actually a lot of different routes to making that happen. The we definitely use the brew pub. So for anyone listening who doesn't know, kind of we have our two areas of brewing. We have our original brew pub, which is the still the original brew system that Joe started on. And so that's a 7-barrel over in Bel Air, Michigan. And that has now become more of our experimental brewery. And then we also have our brewery in Elk Rapids, and that's where if you are ever drinking a bottle of Shorts or drinking a pint, you're getting the beer over from Elk Rapids. So what we often do is we have pretty much anyone can give a beer idea on staff. If staff has a beer idea, they send it to our head brewer, Tony. Tony, now that like Joe has, obviously the business has grown and Joe's a little bit all over the place, and still very hands-on with all the different aspects of the business, that Tony Hansen is now really like the mind and the brilliant mind behind our brewery. He is one of those extremely humble people that is brilliant when it comes to fermentation science. He's actually the one who started in the concept of Star Cut Ciders. And so Tony, a lot of the beers come from him. He has a lot of say of what we're going to try over at the pub. And then we also have a team of pub brewers So they're the ones that are also coming up with different ideas. And if things do really well at the pub, we'll take a couple of them out to festivals. If things do really well at festivals and we just start hearing buzz, then there's a good chance it's going to get into our schedule.
Like normal rotation sort of deal.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, so it's but it's funny because it obviously, you know, as you guys know, it's also what the market wants. So
yes,
and that is hard because the market right now changes practically monthly. So 2 years ago, all we were hearing is we don't even want like what we like the Liberator. We've had the Liberator forever. That's one that like people really look for of one of our IPAs. For the longest time, or about 2 years ago, we had people being like, we know these beers. We know these beers. We want new, new, new. So we like totally changed our schedule of things that had never been bottled before. And then the market shift. And they're like, we want your old stuff that we love and know. And so it's just it's hard. It's really frustrating because you buy ingredients. You plan ahead. You do packaging. So it's now a balance where we have to pre-plan and be ready for shifts.
Ugh.
So what was the theory behind, because this was probably one of the first times I ever saw it, and that was the psychedelic cat grass and how it got bottled and to market on the same day.
So this is another reason why Shorts is who we are. Joe has always been one of those people, if he has an idea, and he is a brilliantly creative individual. And he likes to take things to the extreme. And if he has an idea, he will figure out how to make it happen. And Joe, we're you know, in different meetings and talking. Obviously, people want fresh. And that is always huge right now in the discussion of the industry of quality and fresh. So we said, you know what? People want fresh. Let's give them the freshest beer we possibly could give them. So we came up, and this was right when we started launching outside of Michigan. So now our territory was growing. And Joe came to me and said, okay, this is the idea. And I was like, great. So we're just doing this in Michigan? He's like, nope.
Oh, like, get out of town. We're going to do this everywhere.
He's like, so we're going to get beer to Philadelphia in 24 hours. He's like, yes, we are. And you're going to make it happen. So it's like, roger that. But so I was only one part of it, obviously. But no, we literally had the beer ready to go at 12 midnight in 1 second. We started the bottler. And I was there all night long. We had a bunch of us that were all from different departments of the brewery. We literally bottled all night long and then had the truck stage. So we had, like, the Michigan truck went out last, since obviously it was, we didn't have to go very far.
Right. But well, we had keep us the freshest beer.
Yeah. true. That was what I was thinking. So, yeah, we had trucks lined up, and we just staged everything. And it was like when a pallet was ready, we had people ready to go. It was on that truck. But it was a awesome, exciting, things went actually extremely well. But then what we didn't think about, which we know for the future, is everyone who knew all the logistics were working all night long. And so when I finally went to bed at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, and everyone was crashing, things were happening to trucks because we had snowstorms and tires popping. And so my phone was blowing up, but I was asleep and my boss was asleep. And so I had about an hour of sleep, woke up, my phone was exploding. And now we know about different things of how to do logistics and and have backup tires and backup trucks and checking the weather. No one thought to check the weather, but, you know, there's always something.
So the next time you're going to release that is sometime in, like, August.
I don't, you know, do I don't that. Know
I guess
when
the question
we,
is whether you'll do it again.
Oh, we are. And who knows what will be added to the extremeness.
February.
I know Joe.
Wait for February.
Joe
Wait
still
February.
Has something. I don't know when we're going to do it, but we are doing it this year. Actually, I think
it's
it is
Colorado
on the calendar.
Debut.
Oh, there you go.
Straight Colorado in 24 hours.
It's possible.
It is possible.
I don't know if that's possible from all the way up in Bel Air. You're pushing
That's
yeah,
the hard part.
You might be pushing it.
I don't think a truck driver can
drive up to Traverse City and just fly it across.
Either.
Just get a C-130.
We actually worked on, we did have a personal plane helping us out for Wisconsin. One of our distributors owns a plane, and they actually flew in to we actually have an airport in Bel Air. Flew into Bel Air, took the beer, flew it back. But, of course, the snowstorm, they got stuck. And so we even had problems with the plane when we were figuring that out.
You're looking at 19 hours from Bel Air to Denver.
So it's possible.
Yeah, I've made that trip. It's
yeah, but you're talking
bad.
Car. You're probably not talking semi.
No, that's car.
Yeah,
well, see, so, that's, yeah,
so
yeah.
You're talking 55.
Yeah, you're probably thinking, it's pushing it. 24 hours is pushing it.
It is, because that was one thing I didn't even think about. It was dumb, but I never seriously asked the trucking company, like, really tell me how long is it going to take a truck.
That's
because
a team drive. That
it
shit.
Was. Yeah. It was a totally different situation.
It's a crank.
Yeah.
That's, well, there's so many laws that, like, the amount of hours they 13. Can spend on the, is it 13?
That's why you need a team driving. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 13 yeah. hours, yeah. And then you need an 8-hour break on your log before you can jump again.
Yeah, so we had a shift to Philly.
Unless you got two people driving.
That's why you got team driving. I learned that from this shipping wars.
Yeah, there you go. You knew exactly how I got that from.
They just started doing the reruns. I'm like, it's been 6 years. Give me some new fresh episodes.
So one thing, it's a show.
Yeah,
this is a show.
We'll tell you about it in the break.
Yeah.
Dude lives with his cat in a truck.
So with this huge portfolio that you guys have, pretty much, I swear, you guys have pretty much every name under the book, and as Matt over here loves to come up with beer names,
I'll come up with new ones.
You've got
you.
Obviously the Pan Galactic Gargle Blaster, the Sticky Icky Icky. It's the stickiest of the icky.
It's delicious.
It is.
You
know
it where
is. They go? Oh my goodness! That was actually one of my favorites.
I'll be honest. I was not a fan.
Who?
I'll be honest with that.
Who is?
I had a hard time drinking that one.
I'm just curious, who is coming up with these names?
Yes.
It's the same as beer ideas. It's everybody. Everybody, everything, most of the beer names. Some beer names you guys read, you probably know exactly where it came from other beer names. It's some winding road of a story. Some YouTube video that was watched, no joke, 5 years ago, and like Tony wrote it down, and then it like pops up, you know, again, and they're like, that's a great name. Remember that when we watched that YouTube video 5 years ago? So some of them are like not even great to tell because it's like not as exciting as you thought. But
is
there's some good ones.
Is a YouTube video named of a beer yet?
The Irma Gurdness was a YouTube video.
Isn't that the
Goosebumps.
Yeah, with the Goosebumps.
Oh, God, I remember that. I was going to say, you got to have so obviously you have a cider company. And you can put pineapple and apples, and nobody's getting where I'm going.
Man.
From.
Yeah.
The PPAP.
Pineapple pen.
There you go.
Exactly where he was going with
there
that.
There you go. That's the YouTube videos that you can pull off of. So there you go. Pineapple cider sounds terrible.
But actually, there is a pineapple cider by Ace.
I think that actually would be nice.
Ace Cider Company. There is a pineapple cider.
Is there?
Yeah. It's actually very salty.
I just know you don't put pineapple on pizza. That's
apparently,
like rule number one.
That's the big thing this week.
That's delicious.
It is.
No, you don't. You just like, you I saw people put ketchup on mac and cheese.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's just
you don't
weird.
Put ketchup on eggs either, just for the record.
I'll agree with that one.
So how many people work at Shorts overall?
We're up to 150, 170.
Wow.
And that's throughout all the states and...
Yeah, we only have two people that I brought on our team in the past couple months that live outside of Michigan. So how
do you do your sales outside of like Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, or not Michigan, but Ohio, Wisconsin, Indiana? Is it Michigan people that just go out there or?
So for a while it was, like when we did launches, I pretty much grabbed people from every facet of the brewery, made them travel out with me, and we did different launch events, and I did a lot of the traveling for about the first 6 months. So I wasn't home too much for the first 6 months, and then... we have a person living in Chicago and a person living in Indianapolis, and so they really cover all of that territory with my help. And it's learning how to go from Michigan, where we want to be in every city, every town, no matter how big they are, to having to prioritize and definitely figure out where those niches are and put more energy into that.
Mm. Have you guys been welcomed in the other states, or has it been a little struggle?
Well, you think they were standing on the border waiting for them? With sticks and
no,
pitchforks.
In Ohio, they might have been.
What is this, Salem? Is this Salem or something?
I don't know.
Please the don't Salem. Go or something like
well,
that?
Well, no, because obviously, you know, a lot of states, including our own, are very pro-in-state only. So pro-Michigan
beers.
Michigan's
a lot more provincial than pretty much. I mean, the Midwest is pretty provincial.
Ohio's pretty.
I was going to say, you're over-exaggerating the majority of the country. The majority of the country ain't like that at all.
Yeah, but we're in the Midwest. We're not in the majority of the country.
I was going to say, you're just mainly Michigan, maybe Ohio. The rest of the country doesn't think that way.
Well, I'm in Michigan, so
I'm
going to
disagree, though, about Wisconsin. Wisconsin is crazy local-focused.
I can see that, especially with the trip to Green Bay for that Lions game. Some of that stuff that I brought over for the show a couple weeks after.
What, were you getting yelled at?
No.
By cheeseheads?
Actually, no. They were actually wondering if I was being heckled by any cheeseheads. The cheeseheads were asking if I were getting harassed, and we said no. They're like, oh, are you enjoying your time? Like, yeah.
The cheeseheads.
It's like rubbing it in. Hey, we're kicking your ass, but it's okay.
You know, Wisconsinites are a lot like Canadians.
They kind of are.
They're just friendly and drunken. They're just, their cholesterol's so high.
They remind me of Upers, too. They're all the same people.
No, Upers are Canadians.
Yeah.
The actual Canadians.
They're pretty much Canadian.
You can tell.
Well, they do want the UP. That is actually something I found. They're, like, very protective about the UP.
Wisconsin or Canadian?
Both. Wisconsin.
Wisconsin wants the UP? They can have it.
No. There's way too much warm mineral up there.
We love the
UP. I was going to say, yeah, because, I know a lot of the UP is Wisconsin-style fans, like the Badgers, Green Bay.
Well,
when you're in the
everything.
Central time zone, yeah.
There's not too many parts of the UP that's in the central time zone.
No, there's
only a
very
small
zero points of
like the Menominee.
No, there is. Actually, that's a whole reason Michigan elections close at 9 p.m. because of, like, not Menominee,
Iron Mountain.
No, so I'm going to go ahead and call bullshit on that one.
Look it up.
Well, no, I have family that lives in Iron Mountain, and what they do is they actually drive after midnight on New Year's Eve. They are Eastern, and then they drive
over
to...
Maybe it's not Iron Mountain, but there's a part of Michigan up there.
There's four counties in the western upper peninsula.
To a northern Michigan person. I kind of know what goes on up there.
Hates being wrong.
Gogebic, Iron, Dickinson, and
Menominee.
Thank you.
Oh, damn it.
They share they actually all share the border with Wisconsin, and they're all part of the Central Time Zone.
The more you know.
So much for that 0%.
You can thank the Secretary of State for that one.
Fuck you, Ruth Johnson.
Is that the Secretary of State? I don't even know.
I think it's not Bill Schuette. He's the Secretary. He's the attorney guy. So
he's the one.
Oh, Michigan.gov, not the Secretary of State.
Well, it's still the same person.
Yeah. Is that Jenny from the block? Is she the Secretary of State?
No, she's in charge of some kind of PAC now.
I don't know.
Oh God!
Let's get out of the Michigan politics.
Yeah, please,
I hate all the people you're talking about, especially that.
I thought you were talking about J Lo. I'm sorry.
The last one
because you said Jenny from the block. I was about to go back to Mark Anthony.
I need to know.
Goodness. So pretty much, you guys. I know you're basically. I think it's. You said it was seven states. I believe the next brewery next up to you guys in more states than you guys would be Arcadia, and I believe they're in 11. Obviously, you've got the Star Cut going on in Colorado. Hopefully, we're going to see some shorts that are out there. But I guess what's the vision to start branching out even more, start getting into more states?
So right now, there's no current plans for expansion outside of what we're thinking of. Like, we call it the Great Lakes region. We had to name our area. So the Midwest area. Never say never. We learned that when obviously we went from
Michigan.
Michigan only, Michigan forever, which I'm still very proud of because I was part of the marketing team that took that and ran with it. It was doing really well. So we never say never anymore, but
Are you quoting Justin Bieber on purpose?
Pardon me?
Are you quoting Justin Bieber on purpose?
Never say never.
I'm not singing that one. You're singing that one.
Never. Wow. I don't even know. The
hell you just see, and there was. I guess
never.
There was
never.
Just,
oh God.
And I'm like baby, baby, baby. Ooh.
Goodness. And I mean, there was a lot of heat for that too. When there was a decision, and I mean, the way I look at it, I'm just, hey, everybody enjoy good beer. You know, crack one open and shut the hell up and just drink it. I mean,
I appreciate that. Amen. Thank you.
They're moving out of state. I'm sorry. I wanted to make money. I'm a business. I'm trying to sell beer. so that it can keep selling beer so that other people can enjoy the beer that I want
to
sell.
Well, yeah, and we got to keep our team. Like, it was, you know, we didn't have to lay anyone off, which is a pretty amazing thing. And we're growing, yeah. So.
Yeah. We thought they'd always be around. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep the Bieber thing on. Maybe no, it's a little no. too
oh, jeez.
Going a little too deep cut with the Bieber songs.
The only time Bieber gets played in my car is when I have to take the stepdaughters to school. Other than that, no.
Aw, you play Bieber for them, though?
I have to leave it.
Are like, you a believer?
I got to leave it on like 96.3 and 95.5. And I'm just like, oh, my God, how much faster can I get there?
You don't have to do that. Tell them no.
Put on 105.1.
I was going to say, yeah, play 105.1. Get some Juvenile, Cisco, and whatever other
R.
six
Kelly. Drew Hill at 8.30 in the morning.
Then they get mad because I'm listening to old people music. I'm like, Hall & Oates is not old people music.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my
yeah,
God. It is. With that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
We
with
might
the
never be
Draft
back
podcast.
If we can't figure out this technology.
And we are back, episode 67 of the Better on Draft podcast. Still with us, Pauline from Shorts.
Hello, hello.
We haven't scared you off yet.
Not yet.
We did crack open a beer. Why don't you tell us about the beer that we just cracked open?
We have... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go for it. You talk about the beer.
I think she was actually talking to you.
I was talking to her.
We didn't really crack a beer. We smashed up some Sweethearts and put them in water. Is that what Matt... Is that can your I, description?
Yeah, so Wishful Sinful, the American Sour Ale. As I usually say, go find it and put it in your face hole. That is my seal of approval. Find it and put it in your face hole.
It's, good, I'll take that.
It's yeah, it's that. The with Brulette. Yeah. Put it in your face hole. Yeah,
exactly.
Brulette. Soft Parade, but it's a sour cousin, if you will. And we discussed it's basically a black raspberry warhead that just sat in water for a little bit too long, and then they dump vodka in the same jar. It's like a hairy buffalo or jungle juice, almost, if you will. But
so you're bottling jungle juice.
I feel like that's making it actually not sound good.
What is this?
Not sounding good.
Well, I feel like I'm at Nick's house right now.
Is this a Fanta party?
This is why
I'm trying to speak.
It's tart. It's tart.
I'm trying to speak to my demographic, Nick. You have to realize.
Go for it.
My demographic is like 23 and under.
Your demographic.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Just you?
Just me.
Just you.
Me, clearly.
Okay.
But phenomenal. Are only in 750s? Are they coming in six packs?
No, this just launched this week, and we're kind of decided we're only doing a 3 or 4 bombers a year max. And what we want to do with a couple of them is take our flagship. So Huma, we put it in bourbon barrels. That was our bourbon Huma that came out a little while ago. And this being a, like you said, cousin of Soft Parade. So this is actually a American sour, but all the same berries.
Now, I think
American
this would be
sour.
Better on draft, if you will. So, but this is only going to come in 750s.
Only seven. Not one keg was made.
Now, you know where you can probably find this when it gets distributed?
Where?
It's a Tuna Liquor in Rochester Hills. On Rochester Road, just south of 59, go check out Jack. Ask for Shorts. Ask for the Wishful Sinful. He'll only have 11 because he's probably going to keep at least one for me. And if he's
Jack
listening
Gus,
to this, he'll know
listening.
He knows what he's doing. He will definitely do that. But definitely,
if he knows what he's doing, he'll
yes.
do
knows
that. Is
what
that
he's
a
doing.
Threat?
No, it's right? a promise.
It's a promise.
If you
delicious.
Know any better, you better hang on to it for me.
That's what Matt said.
Wow, that was so threatening.
So right. Yeah, I know.
What'd you do, Nick?
I didn't do nothing.
Now, is this going to be widely released? Is this going to be a few cases?
Ow.
What's going to be the distribution on this?
It was a smaller distribution. It was definitely limited. It was actually bigger than Bourbon Huma, but it's still... pretty small batch, I guess, compared to what our normal like specialty release would be. So it was sold by the bottle. Mm. So
there's going to be more than rare, right?
Uncommon.
What?
Uncommon.
Oh, is this no, like just, level of collectible?
It's like Magic the Gathering.
I'm trying to make fun of the Goose Island Rare that just came out. Sorry, that didn't happen.
That just appeared in every single Target in the Chicagoland area.
Right. I'm back. I'm spending rare. $160 on two bottles of beer.
Actually, no, they're pretty cheap over at the Target.
Hey, it's like Target was limit five.
Limit five.
Oh, was it? I thought they were
limit
like
five, and they're like $60
a piece.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be right back. I'm spending like $300 on
Target?
Five bottles.
Or is
of beer.
It just like Target?
No, no,
get
it was.
Well,
it was
they obviously worked with Target.
Released.
But.
They worked with Target and oh geez, what was the name of the grocery stores that are in it?
Jewel-Osco.
Yeah. So Jewel-Osco, I believe they were selling it for $80. And then Target just said, well, we're going to be Target, so we're going to sell it for $60.
I would have sold them at Kmart myself. No one goes there, so no one would have known they were there.
Exactly.
Blue light special.
Buy two towels and a shower rack, get a bottle of Rare for free. All right. It's like Michigan like 3 years ago. Buy a bottle of Coke, get a ticket to the football game.
Oh, God. That's pretty amazing, though, for craft beer, though, that it can get, I mean, good for Goose Island. Getting Target and Jewel Osco and then charging that price. I mean, that puts craft into a whole newer ball game there.
Yeah, but that just upsets people who spent more money on it.
And well, actually, and that's funny. Yeah. So I like that. Yeah. If you spent money for the privilege to buy the beer.
You know what we think of those? We just laugh at those people.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Let's be real.
Slightly.
Do you guys have, before we get into the news, I did have one question. Do you guys have any major like bottle or keg releases at the brewery itself? Because I don't recall like any, you know, when obviously Plead the Fifth, Four Elf, happens or anything like that. Hey.
Turn that down.
Turn your freaking vibrate off, man.
Turn your vibrator off.
And Nick over there.
So what do you guys do for specialty releases? Like, what have you released lately or what do you have upcoming?
So we don't necessarily have those certain barrels like some of the other breweries where it's kind of like this one day built around the one beer. Really, the pub's built around that there's always specialty releases.
Which is sweet. Like when we were talking about off air, you can only get there.
Yeah, you got to come up, and there's certain beers that are delicious but may never make it into distribution, and that's what we want the pub built around. But what we decided to do, and just kind of happened naturally, I guess it wasn't just a decision, but our anniversary party, which is in April, and then we have Shorts Fest, which is actually at our production facility, which is in August. Those are our two where there's always something it's a huge party, our anniversary party, which always sounds hilarious because it's like our major block party, but in Bel Air, you have one block. So we take over the whole town. The whole town.
What's that one town shut down on Bel Air to Caseville where it's like you have two houses on each corner? There's like a little old school, like, I forgot. It's on M. It's not M 53. It's on Lapeer Road.
It's
or
like
whatever.
Bad Axe.
No, Bad Axe is a pretty big.
It's literally what you're describing. Like one block, except it's like a single.
There's
traffic
there's
light.
So many of those towns that are that I like. I'll drive through and I'm like, am I still in Michigan or did I
like Gagetown?
Do people live here?
When in April are you having your anniversary?
So it's the last Saturday in April. So I want to say 27th?
20th is a Thursday.
So the
29th? The 29th of April?
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's actually later then. Well done. Nice. Yes, 29th.
Matt's like, all right, I know what day 420 right is, so I have to just count from there.
Hey.
Right. Wow. Jeez.
I like my intoxicants liquid, not inhalable.
Not rolled?
Good not Lord. Inhalable.
I don't know. I'm looking at the release schedule right now, and I'm excited that I'm going to be buying a lot of it. But it's the Power of Love.
Ooh, it's delicious.
Yeah. So it's a curious thing.
Is someone a Huey Lewis fan in your company?
The what do you call it? The screen. The label is the train pushing the DeLorean.
Are you serious?
That was for our anniversary. Our anniversary party. We did all Back to the Future.
That's awesome.
That was where Mr. Fusion came from. And
I mean, it doesn't say DeLorean or anything on it, so it just, you know, it kind of looks like it. You don't know for sure. It doesn't say DMC on the front, and it says love, and the train is actually a cassette player on the train.
who all right, do you have like the same person doing the artwork for all of the labels?
Now we do. Okay. There are times where depending on so again, it comes back to Tony. Tony is also an artist, so he works really well with artists and has a great artistic eye. And I always forget her last name, so I apologize. But apologize to her. Tanya, I know, is her first name.
Shout out to Tanya.
Tanya. And Tanya is actually one of the aunts of our pub brewers. And she is just fabulous and makes everything pop. And actually has taken some of our original labels, like Bel Air Brown, which was that one, Huma, Soft Parade. Those were all done by one of Joe Short's college roommates.
Nice.
And so it was like really when we obviously started and was helping him out and doing some artwork. And then she's been able to bring some of those kind of read to life and pop them a little bit, bring more color. And we
How
just
do you
love
not
her
know
style.
Tanya Whitley's name?
Whitley, which I should
really
know.
You just looked it up.
Yeah. No, and I also, why I didn't want to say it was because that's our brewer's last name, but I was like, maybe it's like a different part of the family and they don't have the same last name. Thank you, Tanya. Love you. But she does an amazing
job.
Wait,
hold on. So Nick's looking at the Bel Air Brown. Is that the clock tower?
Yeah, it's the Bel Air.
That is the...
Oh, no, I was thinking from
the Hill Valley Clock Tower.
I was like, wait a minute.
I was looking at it. It looks like Old Main at Wayne State. And I look at it, and then when Dan said the clock tower, I'm like, wait a minute, Hill Valley?
Yeah. Thumb $100, will you?
Bel Air, Michigan Clock Tower. That's goodness. What we look at from
who
our
was
brewery.
It? I asked if that was Very Hill cool. Valley 1885. Oh, who was that that was here on one of their bottles? It was like a dirt road, like Old Town and on the bottle. I was like, is that Hill Valley? He was like, what? You guys are, I can't remember who that was.
The guys
on
who
here.
Make Dragon Slayer.
What do you call it? Tri-City.
Tri-City.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He was like, no, that's like Saginaw.
Oh, goodness.
So, as always, with segment number two, we go with the news.
It's the news, which a couple of things I have to mention before I get to the news that there has been a request for more strawberry shortcake. And apparently, since we were talking about the possibility of things that are being kegged and maybe released, the peaches and cream, whichever, I'm not sure exactly.
Peaches and cream.
That's one of my favorites. Say a little 112? It's not coming back this year.
They won't tell what I'm
going to
do.
He's not going to like that
cream saver.
But strawberry shortcake, yes. We will make more.
Okay.
Is there any more of that wishful sinful left?
Negative. Probably not. I definitely took the last of that one.
Here you go, Nick. You can have the rest of mine.
All right. So I guess the first thing, as we were kind of talking about in the break, Michigan Brewers Guild is holding their annual conference and trade show this week, basically yesterday and today out in Kalamazoo. One of the keynote speakers that they had yesterday, I believe, dude who has a little business, some kind of called Boston Beer Company.
Uh-oh. Not Boston Brew Works.
Boston Brew Works. So my boys.
So, of course, I guess we kind of referred to him as the grandfather of craft. Jim Koch was in town and talking about how he built the business and how we basically need to fight big beer from taking over.
Was this a TED Talk or something?
Is that who you were having me spam, but his Outlook server was blocking me, so I couldn't get to him? Is that
we couldn't reach him.
He had to be on the internet in order to email him.
Oh, no, you had to be on his white list for your email to get through. Outlook was flat out blocking me when I was trying to email him.
What's that? Is it because he's still using Outlook?
Sure, everyone's still
or at site.
I know a lot of
Outlook
people
or Gmail.
Actually, my company just switched from IBM Lotus Notes.
Oh, I'm like,
did you have to change your Lycos email?
My Netscape.com or .net email for work.
Oh my God. Is your company still using GeoCities to host their website?
Who isn't?
I will say that some of the city websites on our intranet do look like they're GeoCities.
GeoCities was sweet.
What about do they look like Angel Fire sites?
Oh, I don't know. I thought Angel Fire and GeoCities websites were almost identical.
That's what I thought.
Goodness.
So Rob.
All right. No. Yeah. Hey. Back to me. So one of the things, I'm not sure if this was, obviously I was not there. I couldn't find a video of, you know, him speaking. But one thing I came across in an article that he said that, you know, in trying to fight, you know, the big beer, that pretty much every day gets kicked out of tap lines and get kicked out of shelves. And they're kind of the first target because, you know, if there's one that they want to take out, they're going to try and go at the leader. So obviously, he pretty much is kind of the leader. And one thing, I couldn't find the source, but I swore I saw something that where it was mentioned in his speech, basically needing to fight ABI with everything we have. Huh. And one thing I was thinking of is that, you know, while there's all this camaraderie with all of these breweries, you know, it's still ultimately it's a business and you're trying to sell the
beer.
There's
going to be competition.
There's going to be the competition. Yes. There's going to be the CBYs. There's going to be everything that is going on. But it's like other than, you know, staying, you can't, I guess you could stay in your niche area. But I mean, if you want to expand and you want to be bigger, I mean, is it
Do you just go about your own business and just hope you grow, or do you just say to hell with it and, you know, start collaborating with all these other breweries and just basically fucking form Voltron and just start taking over
the Megazord?
Yeah, make the Megazord and just like take over from state to state.
I was going to wonder who that was. The name of it.
But you're welcome.
Maybe you can talk on this a little bit as a small. I don't want to say smaller. Brewer.
They're not small. They're a bigger name. And
but
like
I feel like
we're still we're bigger in like Michigan, but we're still smaller.
But I feel like big craft beer does this kind of has as an A/B tactic, and we kind of talked about this earlier. How when the landscape of taste shift, you know, big brand shift, and it seems like. When something popular comes out, not that they do a bad job, but Boston Beer follows that trend really well. Well,
they diversify like crazy.
Yeah, so, you know, FMBs were doing really well, so they came out with Twisted Tea. IPAs became really hot about 2 or 3 years ago. They brought out Rebel IPA, which is now a top IPA. What else am I – oh, I'm thinking – I'm blanking on something.
Well, they have their new alcohol in the water. The social? Is there a social?
No, it's truly sparkling. Is. But it seems like anytime Sam Adams sees a fad come out, they throw some money behind. I mean, they saw what was going on in the cider. They threw all their money at Angry Orchard, and they blew up that brand, and now they own that. So, I mean, I see that Jim Koch's doing everything with everything that he's got. Yeah. But it seems like anytime a little brewer tries to do something and it's successful, like he's the first one to say, all right, cool, I'm going to go ahead and throw – $20 million at that kind of idea and go do it. So
well, it seems like it's either that or it's, you know, they start to take over and then all of a sudden ABI or Miller Coors comes in and say, hey, you're pretty awesome business. We actually want to buy you.
But I guess I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think there's no right answer, you know, and that's kind of, I think, where there's so much discussion right now because a lot's going to change. Is already changing. A lot's going to change in what we know of, like, the craft industry in the next couple of years. There's going to be – I mean, we've already seen it even this year. Not even, I guess, this year. 2016. We're going to see a lot more partnerships forming, a lot more people being bought out, and we're going to see a lot of people closing. I mean, it's not that I'm saying, like, I feel like I know who's closing. Like, that's not, I guess, the direction I want to put there. But it's going to be the way it is because people aren't, there's so many different ways that you can attack a business. Mm-hmm. And you have to be smart about it. And there's no doubt that we're seeing breweries open so often and so frequently.
Once a week almost.
It is. It's amazing. And it doesn't mean that they're doing a bad job, but you're flooding the market. Mm-hmm. And it's also an expensive market to get into. It's not a get-quick-rich industry.
So let me ask this question. Do you think that there's a bubble in the market? We've talked about it so many times on this show. Everyone says, maybe now there is no bubble. But we've had a couple that have said, it's coming. And we just recently broke the record on breweries in the country. We're over, 5,000 now, I think?
We're
beyond pre-prohibition now. Do you think, you personally, not so much the brewery shorts, do you personally think there's a bubble coming or bursting soon?
So this is what my take is, and I only know so much, but being in the industry, and my view is there's – I don't know if I necessarily want to go with the word bubble because that instantly – makes it sound like it's going to go from 5,000 to hardly anything.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to ever happen.
I don't think any of us in this room think that, but I think that there's going to be a cap.
Yes. It'll be like the dot-com.
Well,
this is okay. So my view is I think there's going to be some people partnering up. I think there's going to be some people closing. So I do think the numbers are going to shift.
Okay.
But what we're not going to get rid of craft beer drinkers. Mm-hmm. We're only going to have more. And so it's not going to be anyone stopping drinking beer.
Right.
Personally, I kind of think we might eventually get back to a little bit more loyalty instead of just kind of the like all over the place. I just want to try something new because it's not cheap. So you're putting a lot of money and energy into that. So I think that may shift a little bit. So I don't see a bubble of like craft is going away by any means.
No,
it's going to shift landscapes.
No. Right.
That's 100% what's going to happen. And there's just going to be more. I think there's going to be more innovation though, because there's going to be more resources to those people who survive.
More hops, more ingredients.
Well, I think one of the big things, and we've touched on it before, is the in regards to the breweries, and this is really a per state basis, and the small breweries, and I'm talking small, like Stony Lake, Sellermans, Urban Rest,
Dearborn,
those aren't going to really get touched by these, you know.
They're going to be like the local watering holes.
Exactly.
And actually, on your point, we were just talking about, so I did get to see Jim speak at the conference. Yeah. Unfortunately, I missed his beginning, so I don't remember him saying that, but it could have been right when he kicked off, so I may have missed that. But I did hear a lot of him speak. One thing that he said that makes complete sense and deals with this conversation is there are 10,000 wineries in the U.S., and no one's having the conversation. Well, I know we're not in the wine industry, so maybe they are, but really no one's really having that conversation of like, what's going to happen? Is there a bubble? So if breweries are only to 5,000, there's growth there, but what the wine industry figured out was there are the people who distribute, and really there's only like six companies nationwide. Might have been worldwide that he was talking about, that actually own most of the wineries that really get out there and distribute. Mm-hmm. Everyone else are what you were saying, those really small breweries, that it's the local pub. Yeah. And so that's where I see the industry going of like less people distributing. There's only so much shelf space. There's only so many taps.
Right,
so it's like
the
local brewery's not going anywhere. I think there's going to be a shift in the distributing breweries.
Well, adding on to my point, so I think again those small breweries are nothing's going to happen to them. I think everything is going to be fine with them. I think the large ones within the state, and I mean you're looking at top five pride production, Bell's Founders, Atwater, Shorts, and New Holland. I don't see anything really happening to them. I think it's going to be the mid-sized breweries that are going to be the ones primed to be bought out.
Dark Horse. We've talked about that.
Arcadia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Keweenaw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keweenaw. Oh, that's right. The Chuck Norris beer.
Chuck Norris beer.
But I guess this kind of goes back to.
Am I wrong?
I think, like everyone, I think this is kind of like a mentality thing. People start homebrewing in their basement. They like their beer. People ask for it. Like, you know, that's a story we had last week with Farmington. So they open a brewery, and then they start, you know, selling out of their brewery. I think it comes back to, you know, once people get the success where they start distributing a little bit, they get a little bit of a following, can they go back down to just being a local tap room? Like, there are places that we go to that are just local tap rooms right now, like X Fermentation or Farmington, that haven't gotten to that point.
North Center Brewing, maybe?
Oh, yeah. There you go. You
what
caught
a
on.
Segue.
Look at Dan over there. Yeah, North Center Brewing over on North Center Road, just south of Baseline over in Northville, Michigan. Go check them out. As always, you can go play terrible pub trivia.
Hey now, hey!
Here we go with the unpaid shilling again.
So can we go from these breweries and like I mean, Dragon Mead, Koonin's? Can they go from distributing to just going back to being a local tap house or like a local
pub? We
heard
about Koonin's distributing.
Oh Jesus! I think Dragon Mead can, but I don't think something as big as say Griffin Claw would be able to.
And I think honestly
I don't think their ego would allow it.
And I don't. And I think based on some of those names that you put on, I think Griffin Claw will be bigger than some of those in the next 4 to 5 years, or they would be one of the groups that would merge with one of those to make a mega mini, you know, macro.
But remember what Ted DiBiase always says. Everyone has a price.
That's true.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if you're Larry Bell, if you're Joe Short. Got it right this time.
Wait, so hold on. You mean Jim Schwartz and Le'Veon Bell don't own breweries in Michigan?
Jim Schwartz.
I don't know if you know, but I have this like mental block where whenever I try to say Joe Short's name, I say Jim Schwartz.
Oh, that's and then he's late.
Constant.
And
that means you're talking like a dozen times on this show.
But that means Le'Veon Bell owns Bells, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you know who?
No.
And you know how Le'Veon Bell owned Bells because of TJ Duckett's.
Oh,
come on.
Wow. What the absolute hell.
We are stretching big time.
Rob, moving on.
What else you got in the news?
What the hell? So kind of going on with basically even just kind of going in still into this conversation, just wild, wild idea, because I looked at this article, which came out from Fox Business, put out a piece about advising moneymakers to put cash on the top three beer stocks for 2017. And
this should be interesting.
Interesting list, because in order, they had number one, Boston Beer Company.
Wow. All
number right. two, ABI.
Yeah.
Number three, Buffalo Wild Wings.
What?
They still sell whack at Buffalo Wild Wings? Or no? Basically, or not?
In reading it, it basically it talked about B-Dubs being making a list because they're really embracing
craft beer
and how much they're wanting to sell craft beer.
Okay, all right. I
so
see that.
It kind of got me thinking of this weird ideas. Like, you know what? What if you started having all of these local brew pubs and stuff and just have their own damn stock exchange? And all of a sudden just say, hey, we got an IPO. We want you to invest in our brewery. Now, I know that there's always like the Kickstarters and Indiegogos where to get them started.
Right.
But once they're already running, what if there was like some sort of, hey, we'll throw out an IPO. You can invest in our brewery. And then we can, in at that point, hopefully try to, you know, expand and make better beer.
For $150 a share price, I'm going to keep my money in my pocket from the Buffalo Wild Wings.
I mean, no, that
says
no,
the person who invests in season tickets for the Lions every year.
That's boom. Entertainment. Hey. That's a completely different what, category.
Buffalo Thank Wild you, Wings? Daniel. Wait, I Buffalo appreciate
Wild,
it.
Buffalo Wild Wings is an entertainment?
No, his
it's
tickets
Wings
to the,
Beer Sports.
Right, so, exactly.
All
right,
we're talking the stock, though, not going to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, no, dude. So, I'll go to Buffalo Wild Wings right now, man. Let's go.
It was only like 10 years ago where you could get boneless wings at Buffalo Wild Wings for 35 cents.
Dude, yep. I remember the 25
cents. I remember that. Yeah.
Those were bone in was 25.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That was 10
right.
years ago.
Yep.
You know, you get all the ranch you want.
Yeah.
Now you go and you say, I want some wings. They're like, and do you want ranch? I'm like, yeah, obviously. They're like, oh, that's like extra and double.
That's 35 cents.
So it's
or
like
50 cents or whatever.
How much is the markup on chicken gone and milk?
Bro, chicken's still fucking $2 a fucking pound or whatever.
I mean, that's
ridiculous.
Why they're selling Blue Moon for like 2 cents. Because
wait, no, Buffalo Wild Wings is selling Blue Moon for 2 cents?
450 talls.
No way. When we were there for our
tals.
Draft.
We were drinking Guinness. We weren't drinking
yeah,
Blue Moon.
It was still like six bucks.
It was five or six
It's
tall.
Literally like they have like chickens on chickens on chickens. They have like the mac, like the biggest chickens in the world, like Hulk chickens. That they've bred specially for Buffalo Wild Wings.
You ever have those Tyco tracks and like you put your cars on there and then all of a sudden, you know, you make them go too fast, they come off the track. They didn't even put the damn car on the track yet.
Dude,
and
so,
it's just like,
and the boneless wings, you have to buy a certain number of them.
Yeah,
you have to buy
four, it's 6, 12, or 4 50. After that.
I can't be like, yo, I want 10 wings.
So to answer your question right now, it's almost $1.10 per pound for chicken in the United States.
Oh. Yes, it. That's for cheapest. A McNugget, it costs me 70 cents at B-Dubs.
Well, isn't that mechanically separated chicken?
I don't know what it is, but it's. I called in. I put a lace in order at Buffalo Wings like a year and a half ago. They're like, that's $45. And I'm not kidding. I asked for like.
Did you ask for wedges and the potatoes?
No.
The,
I asked for like five
pretzels?
Different. I asked probably for about 40 wings, and they asked me for $45.
What the hell? Did nobody. You're not even answering the question. You're just going on a tirade about Buffalo Wild Wings.
What I'm saying is their stock price has to be through the roof because they're like.
It's $150 a share. I just told you.
They're charging an arm and a leg. Well, figure the land collectively for a goddamn chicken wing.
The hell with that. Let's just.
Ken's losing it.
Sorry. Sorry.
The figuratively is what put me over.
That markup on
just
damn
like
chicken
looking
wings,
like,
though,
what
now.
What is this guy's problem?
Kind of like
I'd be curious because you know the largest seller of Coca-Cola is
here.
McDonald's.
Yes.
So I wonder what the largest sell, like if B-Dubs is the largest seller of chicken.
Be. They've got
like
yeah.
what their.
No or KFC.
Yeah, it's
KFC.
Popeyes.
I forget about KFC. I forget all about that.
Or the Yum brand that also owns Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well,
that KFC?
That's 45% horse meat for their beef.
Good. Okay, delicious. All right. No, next.
Horse isn't bad. Hold on.
It's sea kelp, actually.
As someone who's eaten horse meat, that's
I've
not
eaten
bad.
Horse meat.
Have you?
Yeah.
Dude, I've had it in croquettes
can
countless
we change
times. Those are delicious.
Really
oh,
right. actually.
I don't want to talk about horse meat.
They actually taste good. Hold on. Why would you complain about horse meat?
Hey, Nick, have you ever had rabbit?
No.
No.
Have you ever had a croquette?
Because he's not a cannibal.
Oh,
what the
about?
Oh my god.
Where is this?
Oh, my gosh.
I think I need a beer. Someone give me a beer.
Pour some of the experimentation for
it. It took us longer than normal. Normally, I had to derail the show within 2 minutes. How did this take so long?
All right, we got another 2 minutes, so let's get one more.
We have other news. Rob's like, I had 8 other things to talk about. We're talking about horse meat.
All right, one other thing real quick, because it's coming up, is that Perrin and Cigar City are doing a collaboration that they're going to be at Perrin's Brewery for the... darn it, you just delete things and you move things.
That's what happens.
So basically, Cigar City is coming up here to do a collaboration with Perrin to do High Lie IPA, which apparently is always very sought after out here.
It's delicious.
So basically, their brewmaster is overseeing the making of the beer, and it's going to be releasing 2 weeks from tomorrow at Perrin's Ice Jam Winter Festival. So I would suggest if anybody is looking for High Lie, get your ass up there, because be warned that they're not letting that to go. You can only have it at the Ice Jam. Don't expect to take a growler or a howler or a crowler.
I'll probably be taking a car up there if you guys want to go. I'm not going to partake in the High Lie because I don't care for it. But
and so,
not, yeah. Not an IPA fan.
It's
we
a
know.
Freaking IPA.
If
that
you
tomorrow?
Want to enjoy it,
no,
get
two
your
weeks
ass up there.
No. We got the Royal Local Polar Beers Fest tomorrow that you're going to head over to.
So one day it's not going to be 50. We're going to the freaking...
You don't need costume shops to get a polar bear costume?
I'll look into it for you.
I'll wear one.
So I like this idea.
All right. We're going to take a quick break before we really go off the rails. We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back.
We are
episode
back.
67 of the Better on Draft
you
podcast.
Almost forgot.
I almost said 57. I'm like,
67. That was so like back in the fall. What are you?
That was only like 10 weeks ago.
Wait, everybody stop. Ken got the music started before.
That never happens. Wait, this isn't the Growing Pains theme song?
No, I did not play the Growing Pains this time.
The 40-second song we repeated like 500 times.
What about Family Ties?
Family Ties. Anyways,
and now,
segment number 3, as always, is Hauser. 5 questions with Matt Bush. Take it away, Mr. Bush.
Hello.
With Matt Bush.
All right, welcome. Well, today's a very famous day. I don't know if anybody knows what famous day today is.
Famous day.
Friday the 13th.
Famous Dave's?
Friday the 13th.
Oh, is this part 11? Is that... No.
I think it was like part 75 at this point.
Who cares? Who's counting?
However, question number 1 is, at what famous camp did Jason Voorhees originally drown?
Camp Crystal Lake.
All right, well...
Camp David.
Damn.
Shit, dude.
Camp David.
Is it because Biden put his head under too long?
Did Kennedy do that?
That's the winning. Was it Chappaquiddick where Ted Kennedy drove into the lake or whatever? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Ted Kennedy.
Exactly.
Wow. No, Rob knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Rob quit. Or Matt,
what if I
fucking girl?
I'm done.
So I tried to write this question like a quiz master like Rob, because he always gives me shit. So,
dude, I get paid to write questions.
Well,
I get paid
in lemonade and summer shade. All right, so as we know, 13 is often seen as an unlucky number.
Yep.
And so most buildings do not have a 13th floor.
Right.
Correct.
However, the Chinese are afraid of a different number, to where even when it's in a double digit, these floors are not listed on hotels.
In China.
And well, the Chinese are afraid, so yeah, any place one would see. So it's a single digit.
It's the number 4.
It's the number 4.
You want to know how I know that one?
How?
Fresh off the boat.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
It's a great show.
It is.
Well, that just means your punishment starts earlier.
The mother is
fucking
nuts
it's
on
not
that show.
Four. It's 4.
So... who wants to give me some tasting notes on what you're putting in your face hole right now?
Well, we'll start with our guest. How does the
well,
beer
it's
taste
different than
for
normal.
You?
This
are we all drinking the same beer right now?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's, so the thing. I'm not sure what's in that cup, but that should be this.
No.
Should be a golden liquid that you're drinking.
I'm drinking a totally different beer right now. Which would have been really bad. It was like roastiness.
No. So
okay, we're going to switch cups here.
So the rules are, this is something you will find in the single section of your local party store.
What in the sex in a canoe is this?
So as I called yesterday,
this fucking
song. I am going to guarantee a victory on this one. And I don't know why Ken's giggling. It's almost as he's guessed. He already knows what it is. But
I know what it is.
No.
No way.
I know what it is.
Well, I'm curious. Let's have a question. Yeah, we get two questions.
Yeah, let's try and narrow this down.
I don't think this was brewed in the United States. Was this brewed in the United States?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, I love how that worked out for me.
Shit. As we're listening to
and that's why I had you ask the song.
We got that one wrong.
That's we got it. We're down in the United States, so it's nothing that's Corona Familia or
right.
Corona Familia.
It tastes like Budweiser to me.
Budweiser?
No, it doesn't taste like City Club.
I tell you what, I'm still going to be generous and give you a third question again this week.
Oh, wow. What is that?
I miss the double pitcher days.
The double pitcher. Oh, yeah.
Double pitcher.
$10 for two pitchers
of beer. So last week we had Corona.
You couldn't do anything because you had a pitcher in each.
So last week we had Corona Familia. We had other times on this show. We've had Schlitz Bull Ice.
Oh.
We gave that to him.
Yeah. Natty Ice.
Natty Ice.
Natty Daddy.
Natty Daddy.
Best Ice.
The one thing I just want to make sure of is that he's not throwing it right back to us. With the Schlitz Bull.
Does this... No, this tastes nothing.
No, this is not... No, no.
Okay, because obviously I didn't drink it, and, you know, my malt liquor goes as far as
Schlitz Bull Ice is about as bad as...
We've had Four Loko on the show. We got to see his nose bleed because he drank Four Loko.
Oh, and just for the record and for prosperity, Matt did pay me the other $10.
Yay!
I do have my $20 for drinking... drinking that disgusting,
and
sweaty elephant
like,
watermelon jelly rancher that was.
I did put out on Facebook that if I don't stump you on this one, I will do a challenge. The only thing I got was from one of your friends that says I should have to chug a Four Loko like you did, which I am willing to do.
He'll enjoy it.
I mean,
exactly.
I downed this Mike's Harder Lemonade.
He's pretty calm. We get three questions.
We got two more, and it's an American beer.
Stump us. So this probably doesn't come in a 40. Unless this is like camo.
Do you have any? Oh, that's...
I'm now that you said that first question, now I'm trying to... I kind of narrowed it down and not narrowed it down at the same time. So
at least I can stop it.
If my lining of question, I didn't think it was even North American. Like I thought we were going into Japan.
Oh, this was not Sapporo.
Oh, no, I didn't think it was Sapporo.
I was going to say, is Paulie,
I thought this was Tsingtao.
Is this reminding you
of... Tsingtao is coming into 24 ounce or 40 ounce?
I was
going to
ask, is this reminding you of how bad beer
like
was when you first started drinking?
Like,
it was actually one of my first, I remember my first college beer memory was literally sitting on a porch drinking, it was probably like Natty Light, and being like, why do I drink this? Why am I doing this?
Was that your first thought when you were drinking it in college?
To get fucked.
Yes, it was gross. That's what I do what I do now. It all makes sense.
No, that does make sense. Because most college people are like, yeah, I'm drinking as much as
this. No,
I
was like, but it was warm too. That just never helps. But I just remember being like, why? Shouldn't do this anymore. This is a bad decision.
So, somebody give me some tasting notes on this delicious beer I poured.
It tastes delicious, and
it actually has a fruitiness in the finish.
Well,
so
do you
I'm
have
going
a,
to
idea
think,
or a question or
is it? I have a question. I have a question. I have a question.
Hold on. Don't ask it. Talk to us first.
Confer amongst you guys.
Yeah.
You have three questions as a collective.
Gotcha.
As a collective, yes.
So I have to throw out the question out loud to you guys?
Throw it to us. If we think it's good, like together.
If you
want
to try and read them to see if you get a read off,
Ken's kind of like the final
answer. Gotcha. Okay. So. Yeah. Okay.
Ken's the Regis Bowl.
My question is it an ale? That's a huge difference.
I don't know, I'm thinking it's going to be like a malt liquor. I don't know.
Well, I mean... What kind of, how many ales are there that are in this category
in
that we can think of?
In the single, yeah.
Because, I mean, you're talking.
It's Pauline,
a lager.
Right?
Yeah.
You are barking up the wrong tree, senorita.
Should we go with the 40 question? That'll eliminate a lot.
I mean, we could ask him if it's a malt liquor.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
That's a good question.
To go with the malt liquor.
Is this a malt liquor?
Okay. It is not
that eliminates everything that was on my mind.
So it's not a malt liquor brewed in the United States.
We got one more question before we have to guess.
I'm
aren't
out
I
of
generous
ideas.
God?
I I'm out of my, it tastes delicious. Right,
I mean, out of all the ones that Matt's given us, it's probably the, I can't believe I'm saying this, the best.
There's a reason for that. Because I'm a generous guy.
He realized that he should move away from the bullshit we kept pulling out of our asses. How many times did we do that on him?
Mm. Put narrowing it down. Oh, no, you said it, it was U.S.
Yep.
It's a United States non-malt liquor.
Non-malt liquor.
So it's some type of adjunct lager at, you know, your typical a yellow beer from either, you know.
Should we go that category with, like Dan was saying? Like,
it has a sweeter tone to it. So it's got that, like, the flavor is right. What I'm trying to, like,
yeah, I'm like
direct.
This isn't like Blue Moon, is it?
No.
No, it's
no.
Not Blue Moon.
No.
But it's fruitier in the finish.
Like, should we ask, like, that kind of question, like, is there ice in the title? Is there best in the title? Is there something like that?
How many letters are in the title? Oh, that's...
Well, we can ask a closed-ended question of how many words is in the title, but...
No, I thought it has to be yes or no.
I'll go with closed-ended questions.
Okay, all right.
But if it's something like... I'm not holding Rolling Rock, but if you ask me what color is the can, I'm not going to say green.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You got burned on that like week one.
Yeah. Like, I learned that.
We learned that real fast.
But the thing is, if it's two words, then we're kind of screwed at that point.
Well, I mean, if it's two words, I think we're going to be pulling from even any
we're gonna be
any
pulling from
of words. We're still going to be pulling from a hat.
Yeah. I don't know if we should go with a specific word. Is it this word in the title of the?
Because I mean,
beer,
if we say ice or light or anything like that, and it's not, there's so many.
Go broader, my friends. Go broader.
I know.
Broader.
How about go more broad, my friend?
Go more broad.
I don't know what the proper English would be.
I'm out of my deliciousness.
Does the name of the beer start with a certain letter? No, that's too specific.
How many words is in the title of the beer?
That's a good one.
Survey says, show me potato salad.
Two.
All right, so
show me potato salad.
So it's pretty much.
Did you hear Steve Harvey got a cabinet position today?
Yes, yeah. I'm well aware that he's
working with Ben Carson.
He's in several positions.
Ben Carson laid the smack down, though, in his. Yeah.
All right, anyways, so back to name that beer. What is this frothy deliciousness that's in your face hole?
So it's an American beer, so you got Bud Light, Bud Ice, Miller Light, Coors Light, Colt 45 is a liquor.
It's a malt liquor. Yeah.
Natural Keystone
Light. Keystone.
This is, I've had this and it's good.
You've had everything and it's good.
Every cheap malt liquor and
that's
everything.
That's right. I try and like key off of what it could be as to whether or not you like it.
Which means I've had it. So yes. Sometime in my, y'all and your tasty beers, your expensive beers, I'll take my dirty 30.
Oh my God.
Oh jeez.
That's what brings a diversity
Milwaukee's
to this show.
Best.
I think we're good in the Keystone area.
Think so?
I don't think it's Milwaukee's.
What, you want to go Keystone Light?
No, we had Milwaukee's Best.
Yeah, we've had
was
Milwaukee's Best.
Was it during
Best.
The White Elephant?
Is it Hams?
Yeah, I think
no,
that was
and
one
I
of
ended
them.
Up drinking the whole thing. Like, Nick didn't want it, so I drank the whole thing.
Ugh, that was disgusting.
It was good. It was
so he's calling us out, so I'm thinking maybe...
All right, I'm going to give you one last clue.
Oh, goodness.
I'm going to give you a clue.
You're going to give us a clue. Okay.
I'm going to rage in clue.
Thank you, Nick, for the South Park reference.
I had to.
You can find this beer in bottles.
No.
But not larger than 12 ounces.
You can find it in bottles, but not larger than 12 ounces?
So it's not a 40.
Well, yeah, or so that gets rid of Bud Ice. That gets rid of... I don't know if you can't find Keystone
Coors
Ice.
Light?
Oh, I didn't even think
No, you that. Can get Coors Lights in bigger bottles.
You can get
them in cans.
Yeah,
hold on,
yeah.
But you can't get...
You said only cans?
No, only bottles no bigger than 12 ounces.
Than 12 ounces.
So, yeah, cans...
You can get a 40 of Coors Light, though.
Yeah, I think you
Where?
Can.
No, I don't think you can.
Or
not
wait,
here.
I don't know.
You can get a 24-ounce can or a 22-ounce or whatever.
Okay, so this is... I'm not including what's in my pocket right now. You can get this no bigger than a 12-ounce bottle.
So nothing big. All right.
Coors. Regular Coors.
You can get Coors.
No, that's two. No,
two words.
Two words. Damn it.
I know.
What do you mean? Coors is one word.
Yeah.
The beer has two words in it.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yes.
We came to that conclusion.
Oh, okay.
Drink more King Cobra.
I already finished that, but actually, I don't think Coors. Hold on. Does original Coors only come in a can, though, too? So
it does come in a can, and I think it comes in a bottle. But I don't think regular Coors comes in the bigger. Well,
is this Bud Dry? No.
No.
You can get Coors in a 40 anyways.
Wait a minute. Because
Coors original.
You're saying it doesn't have a fruity tone to Bud Dry. It.
Kind of, it kind of tastes like our Locals Light, and our Locals Light has this fruitiness. So even though it's a lager, it just has this fruitiness too.
All right,
so
we're going. Dan's feeling it.
Okay. I was going to throw one out there.
Throw it out there real quick.
Because I've never had it before, so I was just kind of throwing it out there. But what about Shock Top?
No, this ain't Shock Top.
No, I like Shock Top.
All right, just want to make sure.
Because it also comes in cans, too.
They don't make that.
Does it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they make that
anymore.
Pine Knob.
Yeah, Pine Knob.
Can we call it by its real
name?
Yeah,
it's Pine Knob. Thank you. I may work for DTE, but it's Pine Knob.
Yeah, it's fucking Pine Knob.
It'll always be Pine Knob.
That was like my second home over the summer.
Yeah, I used to drink that for a
I went to so many concerts there. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, production stopped for Bud Dry in 1955.
What if this asshole has a bottle of Bud Dry?
Bud Dry didn't stop in 1955.
Not 55, sorry, 2010.
Yeah, you never know what this guy has.
We're not calling EMF yet.
I'm going to call it just because
we're
running out of time.
Just drink Bud Dry.
Why
exactly.
SY?
Why?
Bud Select.
Ooh.
Coors Banquet.
Oh
my God.
Oh, gee, I was on it.
I forgot about
Banquet, which I shouldn't have.
That's regular Coors, bitch. The Banquet beer. And you said it didn't come in anything bigger than a 12-ounce.
Bottle.
Yeah, it does. You can get Coors in a 40.
Show me where. You cannot find. I mean, they may produce it, but you do not get it in Michigan bigger than a 40. And as someone who used to sell Coors.
Off of that beer.
Someone who has sold Coors, it does not come locally in a 40.
And
that's going to be our homework, guys. Find Coors Light in a 40.
That's regular Coors.
Coors Banquet.
No, that's regular. The Banquet beer?
Yeah, it's either or. I mean.
Yeah, Coors, the Banquet beer. Believe me.
By the holy sons of Sam Elliott, you know. That
does not come in a 40 locally. Not in the Macomb or the Oakland counties.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So what's question four? I know.
I think we got that one right.
Do we want to do a draw? Do you want to do two name that beers next week?
Yeah, I'm into that.
Let's do that.
Or five name that beer, just name that beer five times?
Hell no.
I'm down for five.
Well, wait. We do have guests next week, so I don't know how crazy that's going to be.
My stomach can only take so much.
Next question. Right.
Question number four.
So I took this. I was watching Chappelle's show earlier today.
He did a
skit called I Know Black People.
Yes.
Do you recall that one?
I do.
So he sang the Good Times theme.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a very great Stevie Wonder song that I'd like to sing to you.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Man.
So I need you to finish this lyric.
Okay.
Very superstitious, writing on the wall. Very superstitious, ladder's about to fall. 13-month-old baby broke the blank, blank, blank.
What the fuck?
Superstitious.
Friday the 13th, the superstition. Very superstitious.
Writing on the wall. Yeah, we all know the song.
Superstitious.
Wait a minute.
Letters about to fall. 13-month-old baby. Broke the
looking glass.
Broke the looking glass.
Oh, leave it to Rob.
Very superstitious.
He's got more swagger than anyone in this room.
Swag.
He's like our own Justin Bieber.
One time.
All right, so
swag, yo.
Last, we're going to focus on current events again.
Yay.
Divisional playoffs are this weekend. I want a Super Bowl pick from every one of you.
Out of the remaining teams.
Is this a question?
From both sides?
I want, who's going to be in the Super Bowl? I want to pick per person. I'm going to record this.
NFC or just one team?
Who's going to be in the Super Bowl?
What will be the Super Bowl matchup?
Okay.
For the biggest sports fan in this room, can you give me a couple that are still left?
Yes.
Okay, so you can pick from the Cowboys, the Packers, the Falcons, or the Seahawks on one side, the Patriots, the Texans, the Chiefs, or the Steelers.
Well, I'll start since nobody else is jumping through.
I wasn't sure who was going to start with.
I think it's going to be a battle of the CNC Music Factory, Chiefs and Cowboys.
You just took my pick. That's exactly what I think it's going to be.
So Dan says CNC Music Factory. Nicholas.
I think the Cowboys are going to lose. That's the thing.
I'm going to go... As much as I can't stand these assholes, I can't stand them.
So the Packers and the Patriots?
No, he's picking
How did you fucking know?
Because you said you couldn't stand them.
I can't stand the Packers. I don't mind the Patriots. I can't stand Green Bay.
That's the worst matchup.
That's a rematch.
It is the worst matchup, but look at it like this.
Super Bowl 35.
I was going to say 34. I wasn't sure.
Look at it like this. 97, the Patriots 36. Are on fire. Green Bay is on fire.
Super Bowl 30,
it makes
maybe?
The most sense in my mind.
And remember, kids, if you get a DUI, it probably earns you a Super Bowl. Right?
Malcolm Floyd.
Rob, I need
Michael Floyd.
It's going to be the Steelers and who?
Well, you know, I mean, I kind of have my biases over here. So
without the bias.
It's kind of tough to go without the bias because I legitimately think that they can get there.
Okay. Who are they going to play?
I'm thinking complete and utter rematch of Super Bowl 30. Steelers, Cowboys.
Wow.
All right, so I'm going to throw my two cents in here just because, so we have a way to go. I hate a lot of people.
We already know that.
Most of them are involved in the current playoff system. However, one of the favorites that I have, if I weren't a Lions fan, I would be a Steelers fan. Actually have a lot of money riding on the Steelers-Chiefs game.
Because you just like... Just burning money right now.
Well, I bet $10 at the beginning.
Should you be saving?
I bet $10 at the beginning of the season that both the Steelers and the Chiefs would win the Super Bowl. I got 20 to 1 odds on the Chiefs and 10 to 1 on the Steelers. I think the Steelers are going to beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl.
Pauline,
I can see the Falcons.
I can see the Falcons could make it. Pauline, what do you think?
Biggest
sports fan.
Biggest sports fan.
Biggest sports fan.
The most educated football
right.
fan.
So, Paul, I'm going to give you cities.
See, and that's the thing. Usually the person who does not watch the sport is usually the one.
I know the ones I would like for a business sense would be great for my business.
Then go for them. Hold on.
You ready? You ready?
You ready?
Pittsburgh versus Green Bay.
Packers. Yeah, Green Bay.
Yeah. The P&P music.
It would help because it is... Amazing when it gets over to Wisconsin that beer sales 100%.
How do cider? What's cider sales?
That doesn't change too much. But
all right, so we've got Rob picking the Steelers and the boys. Dan and Ken are both on the Chiefs and the boys. Nick's on the Pack and the Patriots. I'm on the Steelers and the Falcons. It looks like, and then Pauline is at the Packers and the Steelers.
The Falcons are the wild card in this. No one's talking about them, and they score 50 points a game.
Well, they score 50 points a game, but they give up 49 points a game.
That's my problem.
But all the other teams, the Saints are out, so the other teams left don't score 49 points a game.
I will say, and we got 9 minutes
me
left.
Me choosing when we're talking about, I didn't even think about the
Falcons.
No,
we got 9 minutes left. I will say this. I am really looking forward to Atlanta-Seattle because you have one of the highest scoring offenses against one of the best defenses
in
the league.
Minus Earl Thomas. Yeah. That's a problem.
Well, minus Earl Thomas.
Where's Cliff Averill at? Look out.
Oh,
former Detroit Lion.
I always love putting that in front of people. I mean, basically, but he's got a ring.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hell.
Yeah, true. So does Charlie Batch. Oh, wait.
Charlie Batch was
two
amazing.
Of them.
Charlie Batch was amazing.
One of the best quarterbacks in Detroit.
Oh, yeah, and he carried Pittsburgh when they needed him.
Damn right he did.
He did.
Yeah, why was Ben Roethlisberger not playing again?
He raped somebody?
Because of a slight sexual
assault. In the playoffs.
He did a girl in the butt in a bathroom.
Scumbag.
Well, hold on, because he was in the playoffs, too. He carried one when... Like Roethlisberger.
Oh yeah, he did it too. But it was the Pittsburgh Steelers backup quarterback you know, what was that other former backup quarterback that was really really
Matt Schaub?
No.
Tommy Maddox?
No.
Touchdown Tommy.
Neil O'Donnell. Neil O'Donnell.
We don't talk about Neil
O'Donnell.
Landry
Jones?
No. Everybody's favorite, Michael Vick.
But wasn't he an Eagle?
Michael Vick
was an Eagle. He was a Steeler.
He was a Falcon.
Yes, he was a Falcon.
He was a Bill.
Remember he had a younger brother that got in trouble in a
Marcus
bowl game
Smith?
For
Marcus.
Stomping on someone?
Yeah, yes, yeah, Marcus. Yeah. I think he played VT?
Yep. Yeah, they both played for Vatek.
So let's bring up the real disaster with the NFL, which is probably their death now. Why did they just move the second team to L.A.?
Because someone would rather spend $650 million to move than to put into a stadium.
All right, a team can't support one shitty team. Now they have two shitty teams.
Philip Rivers.
Los Angeles.
Really quickly, two things. They're playing in the StubHub Center. Mind you,
30,000 people.
It's a 30,000 soccer stadium where the Galaxy played. That's one thing. Did you see their – and the second thing, did you see their fucking logo? What does that look like to you?
It looks like they cheated off of a test.
Actually, they did change it today.
Football team.
It's a powder blue and yellow in the same logo.
Did they? My favorite was the Dodgers logo.
The Tampa Bay Lightning tweeted and it goes, "Me and the @Dodgers are just friends."
And then the Dodgers and the Dodgers responded with, "We thought you were going to call us."
That is awesome.
All right. In regards to shorts, let's finish up with you. They can find you, obviously, on the internet, the Facebooks, the Twitters. Where else can they find shorts? Beer, social media.
Besides every
beer store near you.
Beer store near
every
you.
Every beer store has shorts.
Yeah.
You guys, we hope so. If not,
all right, is shorts on, not is shorts on Tinder?
How about Grindr? Can I find shorts on Grindr?
Or Thrinder, maybe?
Thrinder.
I forgot about Thrinder.
Maybe. I don't know.
Guess we got to go up to Bel Air and find out. See if we can swipe right.
That's totally stalkerish.
Oh, my God. You talked about some of the anniversary parties. What kind of big events are coming up over going on in Bel Air coming up?
Where are we? We're in January. February, March. What am I missing? April. It's anniversary party. April 29th.
Nothing in between, like February, March, and all?
Like April in the deep?
Event-wise?
Yeah.
Or June, April in the
No,
deep?
That's going to be kind of our next big one we're ramping up to.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
All right.
There's always fantastic beers on tap and really good food. You guys so we want
the,
you all
I'm assuming you guys are going to be at the Winter Beer Fest.
Yes. Of course.
That's a given.
Any
new releases coming out in the next couple of weeks, months?
So we have Wishful Sinful that just hit the shelves this week.
Love it.
We were drinking earlier, and then Hop Stash, which is our grapefruit zest IPA.
I think that should be out now, right?
It's coming out next. No, it's being launched next Friday, so
a week and a half. Now to think about it.
If you're finding it, that's not good.
Right.
Buy it and bring it back to me.
Now to think about it. Usually, isn't it around this time that Superfluid comes out?
Superfluid, we put in the Super Hoppy Holidays
IPA pack.
But it's not on the release right now since we put it in the pack.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. But look for some awesome big beer variety packs since the Super Hoppy Holidays was extremely successful. We'll be coming down the line. And
I was
going to
say, you guys have a huge booth over at the beer festivals every year.
That is, since day one, that was part of
Joe's
vision.
I recall our photographer getting very
lost.
No, he didn't get lost.
Distracted?
Did they have the fire?
Yeah, that was the one with the fire, the explosions, and he was triggering his PTSD.
It kept us warm.
Yeah, we were in the line that we created.
Oh, yeah, the line.
We somehow started the
Pigeon Hill line for your mom on French toast.
Now, Pauline, do you work the festivals at all?
I do. I probably served you guys at that last year.
No, I don't think we went to shorts.
I don't think we went to shorts, actually.
Okay, so you just saw the fire. I expect to see you next time at the next festival.
We'll definitely stop on by. I know one of the big things that we do whenever we go to these festivals is try to hit breweries that don't distribute or can't get to us before we hit anything else. So we always make sure to try to find just breweries that we really can't get around here.
Shorts,
Griffin Claw, Kunin, Dragon Mead, like all those are always on like the bottom of the list of things, unless there's something we really, really want. So
we'll
if you have
good,
Power of Love on there.
Summer.
I'm a huge Back to the Future fan.
You should have put our anniversary party that year.
I apparently missed it.
It was a good one.
Excuse for not being there.
I always have an excuse.
Excuse.
I always have an excuse. Doesn't matter if it's bad or good. What's that?
His beard got in the way.
My beard got in the way.
Well, this year, you guys should come up and do a
keg stand.
Yes, while running a show in Bel Air, we'll have you bring your show up.
I'm down.
That'll be fun until 6 p.m. You got,
they used to do a podcast up at the Shortscast.
Yeah, I started that podcast.
Shortscast. Shortscast?
What happened to it?
It's actually was just recently we stopped. I would love to get it back going.
She came to this now. She's like, these guys.
Our competition's nothing. We can.
No, it was just a change in marketing resources and decided to kind of pull back on
the
podcast.
Do you still have a room that we can like hijack for a little bit?
In Bel Air.
It kind of looks like this room, but not as much foam on the walls. So we still had the bottling line going in the background, which I guess is a good or bad thing.
I think we should do a 0.5 episode in Bel Air.
We could drive up to Bel Air. Yes. Guys.
We'll bring Joe right on and call Jim to his face.
Yes, let's do it.
No, don't do that.
Bring Jim Schwartz.
I'll be like, what's going on, Jim Schwartz? I mean, Joe, sorry.
That'd be sweet.
I honest to God, listen to any of the old episodes.
Electrocute Ken anytime he says Jim Schwartz?
Can we just put
a car like a shock collar on me?
Hook a car battery up to his nipples.
Wow. And Nick's going in timeout.
So,
come on.
Pauline, social media. Where do we find Shorts Brewing Company on the internet and social media?
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Just Shorts Brewing Company?
Shorts Brewing Company. Shorts Brewing Company.
What?
Well, I don't know what that even means.
I know you don't.
Exactly.
Don't lie. You know what that
is. No, I really don't. I don't know what the hell that is.
You don't even know what that is.
Tout was Vine before Vine happened.
So it was like YouTube?
And then Vine's gone.
Yeah, and Vine. Well, no, Pornhub bought Vine. So.
Wait, really?
Did they really?
Funny shit.
I don't want to know how you know that.
It's a business acquisition.
That's a pretty big acquisition.
It's a business acquisition.
That's going to do it for us here at the Better on Draft podcast. Pauline of Shorts, thank you for coming. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
And don't do what?